We're going to talk about financial analysis this morning and use a tool to do that that really illustrates the concepts of financial analysis. And our discussion is going to be why we need a good financial analysis to make sure we have adequate planning for our operation. With that, then, our plan and approach for this morning is we're going to learn the why, not the how, of financial analysis. We're not going to worry too much about the detail you have to go through to get financial analysis completed, but focus on why it is important, what good financial analysis can tell us, and talk about how we get there to the end. We're going to use a program called RD Financial. RD stands for the Reader's Digest Condensed Version of Financial Statements. We want to measure business position and performance. These are historic measures. We're looking backwards, not forwards, projecting what might happen, but we want to actually know what did happen. We want to learn about the interaction among financial statements and the financial interaction amongst the family and business with respect to the financial statements and the impacts the family has on the business, and measure the impacts of different types of risks that have effects on financial health of the business. Now, I know most of you out there wouldn't ever raise that right foot, but go ahead, raise your hand. You're thinking about it. You do it every now and then. And this morning, when we talk about financial health, we're talking about the financial health impacts from production, financial, marketing, institutional, and human resources. And we're going to focus on the financial health risks. And when you think about risk, financial health risks usually are unnecessary. If we did a really good job of doing our record-keeping, financial planning, and analysis, we wouldn't have to take unnecessary financial risk. We'd be well-informed and make decisions based on good information, but we often do take unnecessary risk. What should we measure in terms of measuring our financial health? Business position and business performance, both looking backwards. And how do we measure that? What's our tape measure? Well, we need a complete set of financial statements. Beginning and ending balance sheets, the cash flow statement, income statement, accrual adjusted, and the statement of owner equity. Quite often those statements aren't all prepared. It's very common to have balance sheets and a cash flow or a Schedule F prepared for financial analysis. The income statement and the statement of owner equity are not prepared so much. But this complete set of statements allows reconciliation of the financial statements and helps keep us on track with the right kind of information. When we talk about reconciliation, well, what does that mean? We need to know how we got from point A to point B. And it's just like balancing a checkbook. You have a beginning cash balance. The bank sends you a statement every month. During the month, you have some activity, inflows, outflows. And the bank says you have this ending cash balance. And those two are linked. You can tell how you got from point A to point B. If we just expand that concept from thinking about a month-to-month reconciliation of a cash balance, we can do that with the entire business. We can measure business position and performance with that complete set of financial statements and reconcile those statements. With the financial statements, we start with beginning owner equity. We have some activity in the middle, just like a checking account. We have net income produced by the business, owner withdrawals, contributions, distributions, and change in valuation. And we can tell then how we got from point A, beginning net worth, to point B, ending net worth, via all of that activity in the middle. And as our first take-home message today, if you get nothing else, this is important here. I'm going to take three of those things off the table. We're not going to have any contributions. Suppose we're not going to have any distributions. And there's no change in valuation of equity. So as a simplifying assumption, if those three disappear, how is it that ending owner equity gets to be bigger than beginning owner equity? Well, there's only two things left, net income and withdrawals. Net income, as measured by an accrual adjusted income statement, has got to be more than owner withdrawals. That gives us the ability to earn growth in equity. If we can do that for typical ag operation, we're relatively financial healthy. Well, at some point, you need to worry about all the details. And our next speaker, Dale Nordquist, is going to help us worry about some of those details. But details can often be like swatting a beehive with a broom. Once you swat that beehive, you have to worry about all those details. You have to get them in the right place on the financial statements, and it can be just a little bit tedious. But not today. We're not going to worry about the details. We're going to back away from that set of details and talk about the different things that we're worried about or would like to be able to evaluate with financial statements. And here's a list of those. We're not going to cover every last one of them, but we'll cover two or three. And at the end of the session today, you'll get a link to download the software that we're going to use and some additional examples that cover these types of things. This is the financial statement that we're going to use here. This program is called RD Financial. This is the introductory screen. And I'm going to go through this very quickly in a very brief overview here. We can click on the financial tabs across the top. For example, edit crop expenses. We can build our own crop mix, change the crop budgets that are in this. As we step through the menu here on the right-hand side, the items change for each particular session, and there's help included in each of those sessions. Once we enter our data, we get to our basic set of financial statements. And a quick overview, we got the balance sheet in the upper left-hand corner, assets beginning and ending, liabilities beginning and ending. The gray box at the lower right corner of the balance sheet is the change in equity from beginning to the end of the year. We note that that's a negative $2,319. Our net worth is about $3.5 million at the end of the year on this operation. Right below that's a cash flow statement. We have inflows and outflows. And in this example, a positive cash flow, $19,520. The income statement on the right-hand edge indicates a net income of $47,681. And this is an accrual adjusted income statement. And something that we don't often see in agricultural operations is a statement owner equity. This indicates that the statement owner equity has a zero discrepancy, which means the statements are reconciled. If we move to the ratios tab, this looks at the Sweet 16 ratios. It displays the actual values of each one of those ratios in the right-hand column based on the financial information for this case farm. And in the center of the screen there, between the labels and the actual ratio values, are alert levels. If we want to learn more about the solvency ratios, we can mouse over that on-off button and a help message pops up that shows how those ratios are calculated and what information is used to calculate each one of those. And finally, there's a credit scoring tab. This is a model included here to explore credit scoring, just to let you know that lenders do use credit scoring in many instances to try to summarize the massive amounts of information available in a set of financial statements. They try to boil that down to a few numbers, and we have a term and an operating loan credit scoring model in the lower left corner of the screen here. The term loan credit score and the operating loan credit score are given for each of those models, or they're displayed at all times, irregardless of what model you're looking at. Let's go back to financial statements here. John mentioned that in the last few weeks we've had information presented by lenders at all levels indicating that liquidity was going to be an issue, and a stepped-up level of information was going to be required of producers in terms of the information they had to supply. Well, with this condensed set of financial statements, it's not intended for a complete analysis. It's really intended for educational efforts. We can click on the menu here and explore some of the things we've been talking about in the last few weeks. At the bottom of the screen, when I select from the menu item, we get a set of sliders. And one of the things that we need to worry about here is the overall impact on financial statements. And we can do that in several ways with this particular program. For example, the center slider down here is crop revenue. What happens if the operation that we have here takes a 10% hit in crop revenue? As we move that slider down to 90%, that changes all of the information we have on all of the financial statements. Our net income is now down from 47,000 to just over 3,000. We have a zero net cash flow, and we have a negative change in equity, minus 46,000. We also have an operating loan carryover here of about $25,000. So that loss in income changes quite a few things on this particular case farm's financial information. We can do the same thing with cost. At the same time we take a 10% hit on revenue, we have a 5% increase in cost. So in a very broad sense, we can evaluate the impacts of potential revenue variations and cost variations on the financial health. We don't have to worry about, well, the price of this crop dropped by X amount, the cost of that input increased by X amount. In this situation, I really don't care. I want to know the overall impact. It doesn't matter what the crop mix is or the particular details. Just what's the overall impact of a 10% decline in revenue from crop revenue? And you can see in this case farm that impact can be substantial. But let's explore the relationship between these statements a little bit more. We now have a net income minus $13,000 with our revenue decrease, our crop cost increase. We are now losing about $63,206 a year in terms of a net equity change. And we have an operating loan carryover about $41,000. What's the relationship between these numbers? The negative 13, the minus 63, and this zero net cash flow. The statements are set up to illustrate what it means to have a complete set of financial information to evaluate and understand why that complete set of statements is necessary to look at what's going on. The take-home message here is that you need to have net income, just like that one slide where we have net income and withdrawals, all the other things are taken off. That one slide is represented by the statement of owner equity down here in the right-hand corner. And net income and owner withdrawals, if we look at that, then we ought to be able to see the relationships. One of the features of this program is I can hit the reset button down here in the corner. It changes everything back to the original condition. And in that original condition, what if I take owner withdrawals from $50,000, which are here on the outflow side of the cash flow statement, down to zero. If we look at the relationships here, net income is $47,681. Our owner withdrawals is $50,000. Those are the two factors we're saying affect our earned growth and equity. The difference between those two numbers is a minus $2,319. To evaluate impacts of owner withdrawals, I'll just zero that out. And sure enough, net income, $47,681, and net change in equity is exactly equal. As a producer or an educator, then I can learn how they talk to each other and the interaction of the family has on those financial statements. The ratios, as we evaluate financial information, we can run that owner withdrawals back up and we can see that we do change several ratios on the screen. And as we go back down to zero, our liquidity and repayment capacity ratios are the ones that are most affected. That was one of the things that has been brought up in the last few presentations, that liquidity is a big factor. We can change the other ones and start to analyze what particular items are affecting particular ratios and how that might impact our business. And the same with the credit scoring. Whatever we're doing down here at the bottom, that impacts everything. And all we have to do is switch back and forth between tabs to evaluate a particular item within this particular program. I'm going to hit the reset button again here. It takes us back to the financial statements, resets everything to that paper copy that hopefully you have and you're following along with on the presentation here. And I want to take a look at a couple of specific examples. One of the things that has been mentioned in the last couple of weeks is we got to be careful about capital asset purchases. So this is a question I always like to ask when we're talking about financial analysis. If you go out and buy a capital asset, it's the end of the year, your accountant says that if you don't spend some money, you're going to pay a lot of taxes. We often get that advice from our tax preparer or accountant. If you buy that capital asset, does your equity increase, decrease, or stay the same? And this particular drop-down here on the menu allows us to evaluate capital asset purchases and what they do to our financial condition. Along the bottom of the screen here, the very first column with some blue text under that is the purchase price or value of the asset. The first item there is machinery. I'm going to double-click on that and say we're going to go out and buy $100,000 worth of equipment. It doesn't matter what it is, it's just going to cost us $100,000. That information is added to the ending balance sheet. Ending equipment balance is now $670,000 instead of $570,000 as it was before. On the outflow side of the cash flow statement, we have a $100,000 outflow showing the purchase of this equipment. If you have that printout in front of you, you can see our net worth has not changed. All we have done is trade one asset for another, cash for iron. That's step one. But we only had $19,000 positive cash flow to start with. And spending $100,000 must have put us in a hole someplace. If we go up here and look at the operating loan carryover, that's $80,480. And it's easy to do the math in terms of the cash flow and the $100,000 to come up with that particular number. Well, we did talk to the bank, and the bank said that they would finance 90% of this. So we go down to the bottom of the screen then and put in the percent purchase price financed. It calculates or estimates a loan payment, the principal and interest portion of that loan. Now we have started to affect all of the statements. Our net income over here has dropped from $47,000 to $41,381. The cash flow is now positive again. We still have the $100,000 outflow on the outflow side, but we have a $90,000 loan proceeds inflow on the inflow side of the cash flow. We have gotten rid of our operating loan carryover, and we have, again, a positive ending cash balance. The decrease from $47,681 to $47,381 is exactly equal to the $6,300 of interest that was accrued to the income statement when we incurred the financing charges. And just to complete the example here, we'll put a nice round number in there for asset depreciation. It's a $100,000 asset. It's going to last 10 years, so $10,000 a year. Again, we're ignoring several details on purpose just for simplification and illustration of the financial analysis. If we go back to the income statement, our net income is now $31,381. That's exactly $16,300 less than what it was before. $10,000 worth of depreciation, an expense to the operation, and $6,300 of interest, an expense to the operation. As that expense gets incorporated into the net income, that affects our balance sheet. We now have a negative change, $18,619 in equity, which is exactly $16,300 more than the negative $2,319 that was there before. So the take-home message: you cannot buy equity. A capital asset purchase actually reduces equity. So what do we have to do? Now that we've seen the results of the impact on the financial statements, we have at least some measure of what that capital asset has to do. It has to earn its own way. At least for the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to cost the business around $16,000. There's got to be some combination of an increase in revenue and or a decrease in cost to make up $16,000 just to get back to where we were before we started with the purchase of the capital asset. And of course, if we look at the ratios quickly, that increase in expense affects our ratios, and it has affected our credit scores just a little bit. So capital asset purchases is one of the things we was cautioned about in terms of the last few weeks worth of speakers, and this illustrates the impact on financial statements and why, in fact, lenders are worried about capital asset purchases at this particular time. I'm going to start back from scratch again and hit the reset button. We're back to our initial set of financial statements, and I want to show the impact of a stress farm operation and how we can get around that by the types of financial analysis that we do and maybe deceive ourselves a little bit. So I'm going to go through and stress this operation. I'm going to use the sliders and say, well, for whatever reason, the owner withdrawal on the operation is going to run up to about $70,000. Could be increased medical, other kinds of things for mom and dad who are getting it older. We could be bringing a kid back. Doesn't matter. That's a new strain on the operation. I'm going to reduce the crop revenue by 10% down to the 90% level. And I'm going to introduce an increased cost of production. We're kind of piling on this poor guy, and it shows. The net income is now minus $13,000. We have zero positive cash flow, and we have roughly a $62,000 operating loan carryover. As the year unfolds, this probably becomes obvious to the owner-operator of this particular case farm, and there'll be some steps taken to alleviate this financial stress. One of those possible steps is to use inventory and sell down inventory. On the balance sheet here in the ending column, you can see we have both $100,000 in both beginning, ending, and crops held for sale. I'm going to take that ending inventory down to $60,000, which means that I sold off some inventory because of this anticipated financial stress. Now, when I do that, that inventory is accrual adjusted to the income statement. It's a minus $40,000, and our net income drops to a negative $53,000 with that accrual adjustment. But on the other side, if I sold that inventory, I need to show it as cash. So under other cash business inflows, I show that $40,000 as a cash inflow on the income side of the cash flow statement to balance off the decline in inventory. Well, that cash infusion also gets illustrated or carried over to the income statement, and my net income on an accrual adjusted basis is back to the minus $13,206 where we started from. But I still have this $22,000 operating loan carryover, and my net cash flow is zero.
So I could do more cash management with this operation. One of the things we can look at is swapping cash for credit. If we look at our menu here, click the swapping cash for credit option, and at the bottom of the screen then, we could, instead of paying cash for the out-of-pocket expenses we had planned to incur, we could put those on account. So I'll go down here to the ending value and increase our ending accounts payable to $30,000. Now that shows up on the ending balance sheet and adjusts the figures accordingly. But if I swapped that expected cash outflows for that accounts payable, then I want to reduce my actual cash outflows by $30,000. So I put a negative $30,000 in the outflow side of the cash flow statement under other business cash outflows and expenses. My net income is now back to a minus $13,206 because of the accrual adjustments that are taking place, indicating that while there's cash changed hands, the business performance didn't change under an accrual adjusted system. The change in equity is a minus $84,000. I now have a positive annual net cash flow of $76,32, and I have zero net operating loan carryover. In addition to the cash management at the end of the year, we will often, with the stroke of a pen, increase asset values to change equity. So if we do that here in one final step, look at asset revaluation, we'll add a nice round $200,000 to the ending real estate balance on the balance sheet. It adds that information up here on the ending balance on the balance sheet. Our net income doesn't change, obviously. Still a minus $13,000. Our positive net cash flow from our cash management strategies. And now we have a positive $115,794 change in equity rather than a negative $84,000. But the statement owner equity indicates a negative $200,000 discrepancy. That shows that, in fact, we didn't earn that $200,000 asset valuation. It was with the stroke of a pen. So we have to tell our financial statements that, in fact, that was a stroke of a pen. We revalued assets to the tune of $200,000. We add that in. It shows up on our statement owner equity, and our discrepancy is back to zero. Well, it seemed like a tough year, but really we didn't do too bad. We had a positive cash flow, $7,600. We have a positive change in equity, $115,000. And this net income figure is still a little bit troubling. But let's do one more thing. Let's go back to a cash income statement. So I come down here and click on my cash income toggle. And now my accrual adjusted income statement changes to cash. The net income there is now positive, $53,479. I have a positive cash flow and a positive change in equity. All in all, it was a very good year, even though it seemed like it was tough. Or at least we can mislead ourselves by accumulating entries into our financial statements and our financial system that accumulate into some misleading information on the financial statements themselves. This can lead to financial disaster. What keeps us honest here is that the discrepancy figure on the statement owner equity says something is wrong here. The statements don't add up. You shouldn't quite believe the information that you're seeing on the financial statements. Go back and do some more work. In this case, all we have to do is click that cash income toggle on off to show that our net income business performance during the year, a minus $13,206.
With that, must measure a business's financial position and historic performance. You wouldn't try to build a house without a tape measure. Financial statements are our tape measure in agriculture. And if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. You might end up with just a little bit of a crooked house. You have to be profitable. You have to be able to generate net worth internally. And you have to manage all types of risks. You pick that right foot up, that little boy is going to head down the hill. It might be a priced hill. It might be lots of other kinds of hill. All of those are incorporated into the whole farm financial analysis in one form or another. How do we get there? Two approaches. There are lots of tools. This one is educational, but in the end, you do have to worry about the details. Dale Nordquist is going to follow here, and he'll talk about FinPAC and AgPlan. IFFS is another tool, Fast Tools, and there are many others. Those are year-end sorts of analysis tools. You can put your records into those tools and get the complete detailed financial analysis that's required by your lender. The second approach is record-keeping systems. You can set up your day-to-day record-keeping systems to provide the absolute best set of information that is possible so that you can do the year-end analysis very quickly. Don't risk the financial health of your family and your business with frustration over preparing the detailed financial statements. Just do it. And with that, John, I will turn this back to you.
Dwayne, thank you. You've shown how for most actions there's a reaction. Right there on the screen, one of our earlier presenters made a really strong statement about being very careful about capital purchases in this era that we're in, and that any capital purchase must earn its own way. We also heard from several speakers about being very careful about decisions we make, or one particular financial decision that has other implications back through the business. And in the uncertain times we're in, you just have to be very careful about that. So, in your experience, Dwayne, what do you think is the single factor that prevents producers from completing a full set of financial statements?
I think the level of comfort they have with crunching numbers, the understanding of financial information and financial analysis. Producers are, by and large, production-oriented and trained, and they have that comfort level with the production activity. And they simply don't feel comfortable at all with financial analysis, and I think that holds them back a lot.
You've been involved working with producers, educating them around financial analysis and management. There are educators out there. The thing I often hear with producers is that they have a set of financial statements that the accountant has developed for them when they go to see their lender. They haven't really incorporated them into their own decision-making. What do you think are some of the keys so that producers actually take ownership of these statements and use them themselves in their own decision-making?
I think a simple understanding of the statements in terms of how they interact with each other, how they can be used to evaluate your financial business position and performance, and being able to use that information to make management decisions for your operation. You might have an operation that is as fine-tuned as it can possibly be, but it just doesn't generate enough net income. Hence, there's got to be some other source of income, say an off-farm job for one or more of the spouses, kids, those kinds of things to help with that activity. If you know what your financial situation is, you can make good management decisions based on that knowledge. And A good set of financials helps with that business plan. Take ownership and communicate with your lender about, yes, I know where I'm at with my operation, and this is where it is. Show a well-reasoned response in communications with your lender.
We've had a question come in, and we'll probably ask this of Dale as well, but we'll give you first crack at it, Dwayne. How can a young beginning producer go about developing liquidity if cash flow is a concern?
In most instances, it's pretty hard to show a purchase of agricultural land these days that will cash flow. You have to have help from a family member or some other source. One of the ways you can get into agriculture, though, is leasing. That minimizes your capital requirements, also minimizes your payments then, in terms of principal and interest payments, and allows you to focus on getting a start with acquiring land that you don't own but control and help manage that cash flow need.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much.